Let's see. The talk today is on voice application development, and it's about interacting with users by telephone. And why is this interesting? Well, it's a way to provide information to users conveniently. Oftentimes, users are out and about, they're mobile. It may not be convenient to look at a screen, or providing information via the web may be slow. And second, it's just fun to do. It's everybody carries a telephone, and it's a great way to grab somebody's attention. Here's something cool we can do. I just want to start off with a couple of stupid telephony tricks. David's got a phone. Do you have a telephone?
Not on me.
Okay, so we'll have.
My battery just died.
Oh. Not a good audience. Okay. I was going to call the two of you and have it appear that you were calling Puneet and Puneet was calling David. So, oh well, we'll do that trick later. Okay. So, a little background on soft switches. I'm presenting today a soft switch called free switch. So what is a soft switch? The terminology derives from way back in the old days when telephone companies used analog switches. You had these operators. It was completely manual. You had an operator sitting at a switchboard, and the human switchboard operator would actually, what you would do is you would turn a crank, and the crank would ring the central switchboard, and the operator would pick up, and he or she would say, how can I direct your call? And then they would take the plug, and plug it into your jack, and depending on who you wanted to speak with, they would plug it into the other jack. So hence the switch. As time progressed, the technology advanced, and we went from completely manual to automated switching, so there were machines that would actually perform that role of, connecting, doing that physical connection from source to destination. And then we went from there to digitization of voice in the core. So you have voice traveling from a home to a central switching office to another central switching office in a different city, and then going to the home. The path between the two central switching offices would become digitized. And then you went from there to digitization along the entire path, from the source, that person's home, to the central office. Even that part was digitized. And so it could actually travel over the internet. You've all probably heard of VoIP, voice over IP. It's the two protocols that are most widely used in VoIP are SIP and RTP. SIP is for the control channel. It controls the call setup and the call termination, and just controlling the different events that occur. And then RTP actually passes the media, so the spoken voice. So that was the next step, and that step allowed us to take the telephone functions and put them completely in software. So now we have a switch in software, aka a soft switch, and that's what free switch is. How is a call processed? There are a couple of different steps. Step one is an incoming call. It could be incoming or outbound, but we're going to consider the case of an inbound call. Step one is the call. Inbound call hits our server, the soft switch, free switch, and it is routed. It hits the dial plan. So I'm going to show you an example of a dial plan. It's XML code, and it describes how a call should be routed. So it's got a bunch of extensions. Let me highlight them. So here's one extension, and it's basically broken down. It's a series of different extensions, and what the the server is doing is it's going through all of those extensions and searching for a match. So in this particular case, it matches on 212.655.5412. So if the person is calling that number, it'll match that rule, and then it'll execute the actions. It'll execute the actions within that rule. So that's the next step. So after after it's gone through that dial plan and found a matching rule, it'll execute the instructions in that rule. And if the execute stage transfers control to another dial plan entry, then it goes there. Otherwise, it hangs up the call and it shuts down, it deallocates resources. Here's the dial plan in a little bit more, a little bit more of an overview, a little bit easier to read. We have the extension here, and then one or more conditions. And the conditions can match on things such as the destination number, the time of day, the caller ID. There are a number of different fields that you can match on. And then you can perform one or more actions based on that. And then once you're done, then you hang up, or you can go on to another. If you want to transfer control to another dial plan entry, you can do that. So what are the different ways we can interface with the system? Well, there are five different ways that FreeSwitch allows one to interface with the system. One is XML curl. I'm not sure how familiar this audience is with the different concepts here, but do you all know what XML is?
No.
Okay, so XML, have you ever seen something like this? The brackets and XML is a structured language for describing information. It's a way of describing not just X equals Y, but also the relationship, the hierarchy of that information. For FreeSwitch, it's a way of many of the configuration files are expressed in XML. So one of the ways to interface with FreeSwitch is a module called XML curl. What that does is when a call comes in, rather than parsing a static XML file, FreeSwitch will actually go out on the web and request a dynamic XML config from your web server. And then using that, it'll decide what to do. Or it'll follow the instructions in that dynamic XML snippet. Another way to interface with FreeSwitch is via socket control. Let me show a couple. So the FreeSwitch command console is up on the screen right now, and I can issue commands like originate, which will make an outbound phone call. So that's a FreeSwitch command that can be issued at the console, and it can also be issued over a socket. So is the audience familiar with what sockets are? Yes? No? A socket is simply a network connection between two machines, or it could be on the same machine, but it's essentially a way for two machines to communicate. usually over the network. And then there's also, there are a few other ways to interface. I'm not going to go through all of them because I want to focus on XML curl. I'm actually going to pull in David as an accomplice. Not yet, though. So, I'm going to talk about XML curl. Has everybody here done programming? Yes? What languages?
C.
You've done C. Are you in CS50 right now?
Yes.
Okay. And you've done C?
This name, yeah.
Okay, got it. You've done C as well. Anybody done any scripting languages like Perl or Python, anything like that? A little bit? Heard of it?
Written Hello World in Python.
Excellent. Okay. So I believe, David, what is Shuttleboy written in?
PHP.
So it's basically Perl-like. So we're going to take a look at XML curl, and we're going to take a look at how that can be used to create a voice application. Has anybody here tried Shuttleboy Voice?
It's not the same as calling
a
shuttle. I've done that, but I haven't.
No.
And just
remember, I don't know it's labeled as shuttle, but I'm pretty sure it's not.
Does it greet you with, this is CS50?
No.
Then you got it.
Okay. So I'm going to call Shuttleboy Voice. Let's see. Can you see the cursor?
Yeah.
Press 1 to start over. Press 0. What is your origin?
So it's reading this right now.
Press 1, Nether. Press 2, Boylston. Press 3, Lamont. Press 4, Menhall. Press 5. What is your destination? For quad. Press 1, Nether. Press 2, to start over. Go. The next shuttle leaves in 27 minutes at 6:55 p.m., and then at 7:35 p.m., 8:15 p.m., and 8:50 p.m.
So that's an example of an application built using XML curl on FreeSwitch, and I'd actually love for David to show the code on the server side that does that. If possible.
This web service?
Yes.
Yeah, do you have a browser open?
I do. Or I can have one open.
I can tell you the URL.
Okay.
It's shuttleboy.sys50.net.
Okay.
And then just go ahead and hit enter.
Okay.
And choose like quad under origin and Mass Ave Garden Street.
Oh, that's that one change that you wanted.
Yeah, so this is the normal web interface, but it supports hidden parameters. So if you now append ampersand output equals, let's SMS. Oh, sorry. So add a after the first forward slash, add search. And then the question mark.
Ah.
So that's what the web service returns to you.
Okay. So what we've done here is the process flow is a call comes in. So I dialed the number, which was 617-284-2750. It's 617-BUG-CS50. And it hits our soft switch. And that's when you saw the messages start to show up on the soft switch log. It hits the soft switch, and the soft switch starts by reading this text here. This is CS50 for Shuttleboy Press 1. And that's all configured. Let's and it's all configured here. So this is the dial plan, which I described before. What it does is it checks that incoming call, and it says, it asks, is the destination number 617-284-2750? So in this case, yes, because that's the number that I dialed. If the answer is yes, then it executes the code inside of that XML block, and the code that's executed is answer the call, sleep for a second, and then execute the IVR application. IVR stands for Interactive Voice Response. And this is the IVR for the Shuttle Boy voice application. It initially greets the user up here. That's the text that it read. Okay, and then it presents a series of options. Well, in this case, there are two options. There's one to go into Shuttle Boy, and zero to reread the menu. We did it that way because we planned on adding other options. I think Kato is going to give a presentation a little after mine where he's going to talk about dining, screen scraping, and he's going to use dining hall menus. And we were planning on integrating that and still hope to. But you press one, and it goes to this option here, which then reads your source or your origin choices. One is the quad, and two is Mather, and three is Boylston. So if you press that, what happens is if you press one, let's say, it will execute this option. And this is the dial plan, the call processing that I described before. Essentially, we're in the routing. We've gone through the routing stage and the execute stage. Okay, and we've done that several times now. So we've initially we went through the routing and execute stage. Initially, we went through the routing and execute stage when we, upon first seeing that call, and it found that the destination number matched 617-284-2750. So then it jumped to the IVR. So at that point, we were back in the routing stage again, and it jumps here. So we go through there, the user presses 1, and then it jumps here. The user presses, let's say, Mather, and if they press, quad, let's say they press 1 for quad, it jumps here to an extension 30013. So if we go there, that's if you're going from the quad. I think from the quad you only have one option, and so it reads out that option, which is fetched from this URL here. And that's mod XML curl. So it fetches from, this is the URL that we were looking at. It's similar to the URL that we were looking at just a second ago right here. Has everyone here built web applications? So is this completely foreign, or is this, are people familiar with how web applications work? I just am trying to get a sense of the passing of the URL and the return of the results. Is that completely foreign to people, or it's?
I mean, it's not completely foreign. It's, I guess it's, I mean, I imagine it gets to this eventually, but it's unclear what the code is actually sort of interacting with.
Is your confusion around the code on the voice side or on the website?
On the voice side.
Okay. So what's happening is the code here. The installation of free switch?
Well, yeah, I guess. It's just unclear like what that actually means, but I feel like we'll get to that.
We're not going to cover the installation of free switch during this lecture. It would just take too long. But we've actually set up. David, I don't know if you're planning on allowing students to do projects. Yes. So we've actually set up a server for students to play with this, and you'll have an account. You can, if you're interested, you can actually log in to a free switch server that's already been set up, and you can program your own, you know, dial plans, and you can set up something like Shuttle Boy voice yourself, or perhaps something more sophisticated if you're, you know, inclined and want to research it further.
And there's like fairly good documentation on how to like write XML to interact with it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. There are many more actions, many more you know, applications that are part of free switch than what I'm going to cover today. There's just not enough time. But I just wanted to cover, sort of whet your appetite and cover a very basic example of what could be done. So text-to-speech is a very easy example that can be demonstrated in a short period of time. But I think those are good questions. And I want to cover something that's, you know, easily presented within a short period of time. But there's much, much more that the system can do.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's XML curl. And in terms of the other
method. What's it called, curl?
Curl? I don't know why the tool is called curl. There's a Unix tool called curl. And it's like wget. Have you ever used wget? Curl, wget. Have you guys ever used curl?
Yeah.
It's basically, well, you can take a look. So it's essentially a tool that allows you to, it's a command line browser, you can think of it that way. It allows you to fetch a page on the internet, and you can store that page as a file, or you can pipe that content into another program, or, you know, whatever you want to do with it. So that's why it's called XML curl. As for why curl was called curl, I have no idea. I guess C URL, C stands for something, and then URL is, you know, URL. So, I wanted to do a demo where we ordered a pizza using text-to-speech and called up, what's the name of the place?
Pizza Ring.
Pizza Ring, yes. You guys familiar with Pizza Ring? It's
probably doesn't exist.
It does. It does. Actually, I called them, and they do still exist. They've been around at least 10 years. But I don't think I type quickly enough to do the demo in real time with Pizza Ring. But I can show you kind of what's possible. Let's. So I presented in my PowerPoint, I presented a couple of ways of interacting with free switch, of interfacing with free switch. I just showed you XML curl, the top one, and there's also another method, socket control and event socket client. It offers you a little bit more flexibility, but it's a little more complicated. I'm going to give you a demo of what it allows you to do. Okay, so what's happened is in the on FreeSwitch, I've told it to call my cell phone and then wait for commands. Event socket will just, it'll sit there and wait for me to feed it commands. So I'm going to feed it a command to say something. What's your name?
David.
Is your name really David?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Hello there, David.
So, and we can, you know, we can make it say whatever we want.
I'm hungry.
Another command I can do is I can bridge it to a. Bridge it to another cell phone. So bridging means connecting together two different lines. David, is it 0923? 0925. Okay.
Did you want your students to have your cell phone number?
Yes,
sir. Oh, I think I messed something up, but. Well, I must have issued something incorrectly. But in any case, the event socket allows you to, instead of picture, instead of a person operating it, picture a program operating that backend and feeding commands. So you could in theory have a program that's sitting there waiting for a free switch to contact your program. When somebody calls in, they dial a number, and your program can sit there and wait. Free switch contacts your program, and then your program tells FreeSwitch, okay, if the caller is calling from Michigan, you know, perform these actions. If the caller is calling from Massachusetts, perform these actions. And you can have it do things like, you can have it read text, you could have it capture input. So that's often used by credit card companies or by airlines when you want to check reservations. You can capture what's called DTMF, dual tone multi-frequency, that allows you to capture the digits that somebody types in. And you can also do speech recognition. I'm not going to demonstrate speech recognition, but it's something that's possible with commercial packages and also open source packages. So. That was my presentation. I'm going to open it up to questions. You guys have any questions about FreeSwitch or what's possible with voice application development or how to do any of this?
So how does FreeSwitch compare to proprietary software that credit card companies use?
It's open source and it's free. So these credit card companies. It has pretty similar functionality. It's actually more of a base. It's a base that you can build on top of. The software that these credit card companies are using, it's probably, you know, it's fully built out. They've hired consultants to build it out for them.
And but they're not building on top of FreeSwitch. They just have their own one
developed. No, they're usually building on top of a commercial package like maybe BroadSoft. Or there are some big companies that create SoftSwitch software. It's a pretty big business. I mean, it's been around for, I don't know, maybe a decade now. So it's a pretty big business. But the main difference is that FreeSwitch is open source, and so it's easy for people to get started. So. Any other questions?
Yes. Can you talk a little bit more about the speech recognition thing? I know you don't want to go deeply into it, but if that sounds cool to me. I don't feel like from this I know how I would go.
Sure. Well, so there's actually a. I would encourage you guys to visit this website. It's called. The project is called UNA-MRCP. And it's an open source media resource control library. It lets you interface with speech synthesizers and speech recognizers. So it's sort of two sides of a similar concept. I demonstrated the speech synthesis, so you can generate, given text, you can generate speech. The opposite would be somebody speaking into a telephone and generating text from that. There are commercial packages that do this, and there are also open source packages that do this. From a commercial standpoint, I think Nuance is one of the big players. You guys may have heard of Dragon Dictate. Nuance makes Dragon Dictate. They have software that allows you to do speech recognition. From an open source perspective, something that you could get started with on your own and at no cost, basically, there's a package called Sphinx, I think, Pocket Sphinx. And the reason I mention UNIT-MRCP is it's a library that allows you to interface with these different text-to-speech and speech recognition packages in a standard way. So you only have to learn, you know, one API, one way of interfacing with all these different libraries, and you can talk to them, your program can talk to those libraries using UNIT-MRCP. But speech recognition, very high level, I suppose, would be, a very high level overview would be, it's similar to the text-to-speech. You know, I'm just passing it some content, and it reads it. So speech recognition would be, if you purchase a package like Nuance, you would be able to, you know, in C you call get S, right, to get some string, or get C to get some character. So you would call some function that gets some quantum of spoken text, and then it just gives you it gives it to you as a string. So that's basically it. But the actual physics behind it and mathematics behind it, I'm not an expert with that, so I can't speak to that. But it's I think it's pretty interesting stuff. And if you wanted to incorporate that, I would check out Pocket Sphinx. Any other questions? Anybody want to see any, you know, demos or anything? The system. Anybody want to see if the system can do anything in particular? I'm using this system, by the way, for not only does it allow you to do, programmatic applications, but it also serves as a standard telephone switch. I actually use this system to provide telephone service to a couple hundred different customers in New York. So they all have either analog phones or IP phones, Polycom IP phones hooked up, and they make and receive domestic calls and international calls. So it has a lot of applications. All right.
Sample code we could provide to the person, the shuttle boys, if they decide to pursue
that? Yes. If you're interested, as I said, we do have the server that we can give accounts to interested students on, and you'll be able to develop applications making use of that. We actually have loaded on there the text-to-speech engine, so you can give it text and it'll read it for you. And we can also connect it with the PSTN. I didn't go into that, but let's see. So along the way of a little background, along the way of moving from here to here to here to here, I think a lot, probably around this step, we actually got to the point where people could talk on devices and also on their computer and not have a telephone number. So So the world kind of expanded and split into two different camps, I guess you could say. There's pure SIP, session initiation protocol, and then there's the PSTN. The PSTN stands for Public Switch Telephone Network, and that's the telephone network that everybody sort of knows about and speaks about when you give out your cell phone number or you give out your landline number or your work number. That's on the PSTN. But we have a fair number of devices now that have no PSTN number. They're just pure SIP. And so there's work going on right now to figure out how to address all of those different, or how to label or address each of those different devices. If they don't have a telephone number, how do you reach them, right? Like if you have, anybody here have an Android phone? The new Google phone? So the Android phone actually has a SIP client. It's a piece of software you can load on the phone, and it allows you to talk on the phone without any without a telephone, without cell phone, without a voice plan from your cell phone carrier. It allows you to. It's kind of like Skype. Like if you have a Skype account, how does somebody reach you if they have a Verizon Wireless phone number or if they have a T-Mobile number? That's the best way of illustrating the difference between PSTN and this pure SIP concept. So I think that's a wrap. That's it, unless anybody has any other questions. When's Cato's event? His lecture is at 7? Pretty easy. I think we would just randomly, you mean? Just completely
any,
randomly?
Any variability. Because if this program essentially via XML, it's unclear to me how we could implement that logic.
Well,
unless there's a condition where you can just feed it a number between
the code's right. The code's right here. You see these two lines? I don't know if you can read that. What's your vision, 2020?
About 20 feet here.
So it's right there.
Okay, but can you conditionally set fields like that?
Couldn't you curl it and then just set
it? We could, exactly.
Oh, so I could tell you what to use?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. So actually, I could we could issue two separate HTTP requests, or mm-hmm. We could do a single HTTP request and break it apart.
This is interesting. Why did they take this XML approach as opposed to just having an API that you program against?
They have both.
Oh, they do?
Yes.
Is this easier?
Well, it's easier to get started, certainly.
Yes.
But the other approach is a lot more powerful because you can obviously do dynamic things. Mm-hmm. You can generate dynamic instructions. Anyway, thanks very much. Thank you.